96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. President. Following up on that, should we interpret your comments just now that you are likely to choose a moderate nominee? Would you consider?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where you found that. You shouldn't assume anything about the qualifications of the nominee other than they're going to be well qualified.
That was the president just a few hours ago speaking about a possible nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court. Since the death of Justice Antonin Scalia on Sunday, political battle lines have been drawn in the sand by the president and Republican leaders in the Senate. What impact will this fight have on the high court, the nation, and the black community? We're talking about it tonight on this Black History Tuesday. My guests are Jesse J. Holland. He has covered the Supreme Court for the Associated Press, and he is the author of the new book, The Invisibles, The Untold Story of African-American Slaves in the White House. Also with us, Howard University political science professor Dr. Lorenzo Morris. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Professor Morris, Jesse, both, thank you for coming in. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, let's start off with this. How is this supposed to work, Jesse, when a Supreme Court justice dies or retires?
The normal process is that after a death of a Supreme Court justice, the president then nominates someone to the position. After he does the nomination, the Senate is supposed to hold hearings and vet the nominee and vote either up or down on whether that nominee is qualified for the Supreme Court in their position, in their opinion. And then after that process, if the vote is yes, then the nominee takes the open seat on the Supreme Court. If the vote is no, the president then nominates somebody else. We actually saw that process happen with the President George W. Bush. He originally nominated Harriet Myers for a seat on the Supreme Court, but because of opposition from the Republican senators at that time, he ended up withdrawing her nomination and appointing Justice Samuel Alito, who now sits on the Supreme Court. So the way the process is supposed to work, the president nominates, the Senate then advises and consents, which the Senate takes to mean that they get to vote yes or no on the nominee.
So if that is the case, Professor Morris, why is this such a big deal politically? Is this the most polarizing situation we've seen in a while, or is this just pro forma?
Well, it is both regularized and extraordinary. It is an extraordinarily partisan and extraordinarily ideologically divided Senate. It is an extraordinarily ideologically divided campaign year. And it is a rare case in which the Supreme Court seems to be almost indelibly divided. And the choice of the replacement for the seat on the Supreme Court will heavily define major options in areas from affirmative action to voting rights to abortion rights and a number of other ways. And that one choice may hold the balance as to who and how who will determine how politics for decades to come will be influenced, and certainly who will determine some immediate issues which the which not only the Congress faces, but the presidential candidates face. So everybody has to have a say.
Well, but here's why this is causing controversy. Before Justice Scalia died, the court was divided by there was a conservative side, mm-hmm. which was Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Chief Justice John Roberts. There was a liberal side, which is Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan, mm-hmm. and Anthony Kennedy in the middle. By losing Justice Scalia, they lost a vote on the conservative side, which means that if Obama gets to choose a justice to go on the court, he's not going to choose a conservative. At the very least, he's going to choose a moderate. Mm-hmm. But that reduces the voices of the conservatives on the court. This is why the Republicans are going crazy over this nomination, because they know if President Obama gets to choose a justice for the court, it tilts the court away from the power of the conservatives. Now, Justice Kennedy sometimes votes conservative, sometimes votes with the liberals, but he's a swing vote. Mm-hmm. That means that we hear a lot of talk about the court is now 4-4. Not really. The court is actually 3-4-1.
Oh, wow.
Because you never know which way Justice Kennedy is going to vote. Mm-hmm. So that is why the conservatives are really concerned about not letting President Obama choose a Supreme Court nominee, because if he chooses a moderate, they've lost their power.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Supreme Court, the possible nominee that the president may pick, and the future for Black America as it relates to this court. Want to hear from you. Let me go to Mike, calling from Southeast D.C. Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Harold, I want to say thank you for keeping Black History Moment, alive and well, because you're always trying to keep it in the public eye.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Well, since they said that, the Republican Party is crying so much about President Barack Obama should wait for the next president, the question that I want to ask, since President Barack Obama is a constitutional attorney, what happens if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders get in the White House and then former President Barack Obama into the next judge chamber? Can't they do that?
I just think the Republicans may be playing a little bit of Russian roulette. Obama or whoever it is, once in the White House after a recent election, will have much more of an opportunity to go further to whatever ideological side he chooses. And certainly a progressive president or a liberal president would do that. And right now, Obama is constrained by the obligation at least to make an effort to get Republican votes, which means that he will choose something of a moderate. I would not necessarily agree with the caller, because what the Republicans call extreme liberal is basically a historical moderate nowadays, since the dimensions of the court have changed dramatically. And Scalia's death leaves that fact a little bit unclear, that he was extraordinary, even among people on the right, as being a singular, not only conservative, but a band leader, a drum major for the right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and keep in mind, the Republicans in this situation have nothing to lose. If they can block President Obama from putting another moderate or liberal on the court, they've lost nothing. If they wait and possibly a Republican wins the presidential election, then they win another conservative. If a Democrat wins the presidential election, they'll get that same moderate or liberal that they would have gotten if President Obama had appointed one. So they don't lose anything by blocking right now.
Let me go back to the phone lines. We've got a lot of calls here. I'm going to let you speak, Professor. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Edward, calling from Maryland, what's on your mind?
Yeah, my question is, America is the greatest country in the world. I'm from Ghana.
Okay.
The issue is, everybody is watching you guys, because whatever you do, you have to understand that everybody's looking at it. All these countries that you have directed them to become democratic, they are watching you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But how on earth can a president become a lame duck that president when he's in office? We don't understand.
Interesting question, Edward. Let's talk about that. And I also have some sound from earlier today that really deals directly with that point. As a matter of fact, let me play that for you now, and then we can come back to Edward's question, because he was talking about the argument that some of the conservatives were making, and he was suggesting that it was a hollow argument and that he could indeed pick now because he is still in office.
Justice Kennedy, when he was nominated by Ronald Reagan, in Ronald Reagan's last year in office, a vote was taken. And there are a whole lot of Democrats who I'm sure did not agree with Justice Kennedy on his position on a variety of issues. But they did the right thing. They confirmed it.
Student of history, the president is, and reminding people that, as he said, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan at the time was a lame duck president, and he got his nominee confirmed, Justice Kennedy, that you were just speaking about.
Right. Reagan, I give an extreme conservative compared to his predecessors and even to those who followed him, got in a person who put in this on the Supreme Court, a person who turned out to be at least fairly moderate or at least flexible in terms of the vote, so that one should be open to the possibility of the choice, such as those choices made by Eisenhower, would be different from your choices. Eisenhower appointed Earl Warren, the most liberal Supreme Court justice ever, and though he may have regretted it, it was a fairly well-received appointment. Eisenhower also made appointments in the last year when he was lame duck and nevertheless wasn't considered a big deal because the last year of his first term, because it was a high probability to be reelected.
But so, let me ask you this, because I don't want to get off point. To Edward's point, he said that the world is watching us, is watching America specifically this, right. Not just because of the choices that the president may make, the choices that the Senate may or may not make, but also the long-term ramifications as it relates to health care, as it relates to campaign finance, as it relates to the disposition of Muslims. Okay. As we move closer and closer to the next president, big deal for the world watching. Is Edward right?
Well, one of the things that you have to keep in mind is that there are all of these quote unquote unwritten rules in Washington, D.C., and the lame duck president is it's not written anywhere that the president loses power in his last year before he goes out of office. But the only thing that matters is what the Senate thinks. So if there was a Republican president, the Republicans in the Senate would be saying, this president should be able to do a budget, this president should be able to nominate, this president should get all of this work done. But since it's a person of the opposing party, and especially President Barack Obama, Republicans are trying to use the unwritten rule of the lame duck president to say nothing should be done. Now, in the Senate, there was this tradition called the Thurman Rule, where after a certain amount of times around the summer of the president's last year, where the president really wouldn't get any more nominees through because they'd only have half a year to stay in office. But now, all of a sudden, that unwritten Thurman rule that starts in the summer has stretched all the way back to the beginning of the year. So part of what we're seeing here is that people just trying to take advantage of an election season and to try to keep the president from following his constitutional duties of appointing someone. And as we've seen over the last couple of days, President Obama has been very clear about it. He's going to ignore them and he's going to nominate somebody anyway. So the system right now is working the way it's supposed to. No one's broken any laws. Everyone's doing exactly what they're supposed to right now.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to let Professor Morris speak up about his point. Also, we're going to talk to Nye calling from D.C., Yvonne calling from Bowie, Diallo calling from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. We want you to get in on this conversation. We're talking about the Supreme Court, Black America. What does all of this portend for Black America? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Call us. We're talking about it. We'll be back in just a few seconds.